So we're going to go to the book of John chapter 6. We're going to start at around verses 4 through 13. We're going to jump around in John chapter 6 today, but we're going to start at verse 4. We're going to jump back down to verse 26 as well. And I want to invite us just to stand just for the reading of God's word. John chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 4 today, as well as a few other verses following. John chapter 6. I'm excited to get into God's word today because I believe that this word, I believe it's probably going to be one of the most clear messages, not the most clear messages, that's not the best word I want to say. I think this is going to probably be one of the most impactful messages that we hear for the rest of this series, that this is going to be foundational. And I think for some of us who are walking through a lot of things right now in our life, we're walking through some hardships, we're walking through some difficulties, we can find ourselves in a troubled place, we can find ourselves in a confusing place, we can find ourselves just in a place where we got just a lot of things happening, and we can feel limited. And we could feel overwhelmed, and we could feel stressed. I believe that today's word, if you're in that place right now, online or in person, I believe that today's message is for you. Amen? So I want you to lean in today. I want you to have an open heart to receive what God has. John chapter 6, verse 4, here's what it says. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" Verse 6, he says this. He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Can I pause parenthetically and say, even though you may not know what to do, God already knows what to do. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Says next, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were full, he told the disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. I want to jump down to verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one who he has sent." I want you to jump down to verse 31. "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread," everybody say bread, "from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, Moses doesn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Verse 34, they say this, "Sir, give us this bread always." Verse 35, "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. Who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. I want to jump back to verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. As we begin this sermon series, I want to call today's sermon and preach from this theme and thought. He is enough. Can you tell the person beside you, tell them, "Hey family, I got good news for you. He is enough." Find somebody else across the way, say, "Hey neighbor, I need this for you. He is enough." Father, would you speak to us in this moment? Give us hope, give us encouragement, give us direction, give us wisdom, give us understanding. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You could be seated. He is enough. Family, I want to begin our time together by asking you an honest question, if you've ever found yourself in this situation like me. But how many of us, by show of hands, who are willing to be honest, have ever gone to the grocery store and shopped for food while you were hungry? Just by show of hands. If you've ever, some of y'all got hungry as we're talking about it right now. You may have noticed that going to the grocery store and shopping at Food Lion, Walmart, wherever you do your grocery shopping for food while you are hungry is probably one of the worst decisions that you can make. Let the church say amen. Amen. Because you find yourself grabbing things that on a normal day you would not grab. You're grabbing all the sweets and you're grabbing all the treats and you're grabbing 5 canisters and 5 cartons of milk and you're grabbing Lucky Charms and you're grabbing fruity pebbles and Frosted Flakes. You're grabbing chicken and you're grabbing cheesecake. You're going above and beyond, getting things that you do not need. I'm talking about, man, when you're hungry, if you've ever been there, you find yourself grabbing more ice cream than you actually need. You know, instead of the pint, you'll grab the whole half gallon or full gallon. Come on. And you want to say that that's for the whole family, but you know good and well it ain't for the family. It's for you. Let the church say amen. That may have been my story. It may not. I plead the fifth. But my point is, when we're hungry, we reach for things that we sometimes normally on a normal day would not reach for. And I believe that as we do that with food, we also do that in life. That when our soul is craving things, we'll reach for things like more success, and we'll reach for more money, and we'll reach for more influence. We will reach for things that we sometimes may not normally reach for. We might reach for a new relationship, and we might reach for a new bottle, because there's something on the inside of us that is craving something. But the more we discover we reach for things of this world, the deep things on the inside of our soul cannot be satisfied by the things of this world. Which is why I believe the late theologian C.S. Lewis says this: if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Huh. He says, if I find myself having a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, that probably means there's an explanation, that meaning that I was made for another world. Here's what he's saying if I were to modernize it. He says that there are things on the inside of you that this world cannot satisfy. And if this world cannot satisfy, then that means I have to go to another source to satisfy something on the inside of me that this world cannot satisfy. Which brings us here now to John chapter 6. Because here in John chapter 6, we see Jesus continuing to travel. He's doing ministry in different places. He's coming off doing different miracles in different places. And the Bible says that as a result of him doing large-scale miracles, a large crowd is following him. The scripture actually helps us to see that here in this text specifically, there's at least 5,000 people accounted for that's a part of this crowd. Many theologians also believe that that's just the men here, as the text says. But more than likely, there's children and women as well, families of people. So more than likely, it's more than 5,000. It might be more close to 10,000 or maybe a little bit more. But nonetheless, there is at least 5,000 people here, and it is a large crowd of people following Jesus. They've been following Jesus for some time, so much to the point where it's begun to get late in the day. And some of the other gospel writers give us some of these details in Matthew, Mark, and also Luke. And one of the things that we begin to see in this text is Jesus is concerned for the crowd. And some of the other gospel writers begin to say that Jesus recognizes that it is late, and he begins to poll his disciples and have conversation with them. And one of his disciples, according to the other gospel writers of this same account, say, Jesus, send the people away so that they can go get something to eat because it is late right now. Their problem and their solution to the problem here of satisfying hunger was to send the people away. But Jesus here in John helps us to see that he has something more in mind. Jesus says these words in John chapter 6, verse 4, verse 5. The Bible says that when he looked up and noticed this crowd, he asked them this question: where will we buy bread so that these people can eat? And the Bible helps us to see that he asked this question not because he didn't know the answer, but he asked this question to test his disciples, as we learn in John 6, verse 6. But then notice what one of his disciples says by the name of Philip, verse 7. Philip says this: 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. 200 denarii, I know many of us aren't familiar with all these different money options and all these different types of ways in which people spent money back then, but 200 denarii in that day and time was the equivalent of about 6 months' wages. So here's what Philip is saying. Even if we had 6 months' worth of wages, Jesus, we would not have enough to make sure that the people even had a little bit. And I found it to be interesting. Because if you look at your Bible, Jesus did not ask how much it will cost to feed these people. He asked, where can we get enough bread to feed these people? And I find that to be very interesting. And I think that's important that we observe that and notice that. Because what it helps us to begin to see is that how we see a problem is completely different than how God sees a problem. Jesus asked, where? But Philip responds with, what? So Philip's not even answering the question according to what Jesus is asking. Jesus did not ask how much it would cost or if they had enough. He simply asked, where can we get enough bread for people? And that's important for us to see, family, because when you and I run into circumstances that are too much for us, it would feel, and when you and I are faced with obstacles, here's what happens. When we see obstacles or when we see problems, we see them simply as obstacles. But when God sees obstacles, he sees them as opportunities. What's a problem to us and an obstacle to us is actually an opportunity for God. But I want you to notice what Philip's response is, we don't have enough food and we can't get enough to feed these people. We don't have enough, here's what he's saying, for the amount of people that are here. Jesus is 5,000 plus people. And we don't have the resources to be able to provide just a little bit for every single person to eat. Can I ask you this question? Where do you turn in your life when you don't have enough? And where do you turn when you feel like you aren't enough? Where do you turn in life when it isn't enough? Because just as the disciples found themselves in a situation where they didn't have enough and also weren't enough, most of us know exactly what that feels like. Because many of us right now are going through some situations in our own life where we don't have enough, or we don't feel like we have enough, or we don't feel like we are enough. Many of us are right now in a moment and we feel like we don't have enough money. We don't feel like we have enough time. Have any of y'all ever said this? I wish there was more hours in the day. Come on. Feel like we don't have enough. Feel like I don't have enough accomplishments. We live in a world, family, where there is a constant reality of not enough. And many people live their lives wanting more because they feel like they don't have enough and they feel like maybe they aren't enough. So we live in this generation and we live in this time where we want more of a thing and we want more of this and we want more of that. We want more money. We want more influence. We want more followers. We want more power. And I believe that was prevalent in our lives and what's prevalent in our culture are two things that I want you to get down on your paper if you're taking notes. Two things that are prevalent in most of us, if not all of us, appetites and absences. Appetites and absences. What do I mean by appetites? That there are some things that we are craving. There are some things that we are desiring. There are some things that we are longing for. But then there's also some absences. What I mean by that? That there's some things that we feel like we need that are not present in our life. There are some things that we're lacking in our life, which all of which brings us to this point to say this. We feel like we don't have enough. We feel like we're not enough. We feel like it isn't enough. How many of y'all just can be honest in here and can say, Pastor, I've been in moments in my life where I feel like what I had was not enough. I feel like I was walking through a season and I did not have enough. I didn't have enough peace and I didn't have enough joy. I didn't have enough resource. I didn't have enough income. I didn't have enough clarity. I didn't have enough direction. I didn't have enough friendships. Come on, let's be honest. There's been moments in all of our lives where we have been met with the reality of the finiteness, if you will, of our life, where we find ourselves in moments that feel like they're above us, where we find ourselves in moments where we feel like we're drowning, drowning in doubt, drowning in discouragement, drowning in worry, drowning in debt. Many of us know what that feels like, where you've tried everything and it still won't enough. Come on, how many people am I talking to in here? They can say, I tried to be patient, but it won't enough. I tried to show love to them on the job, but it wasn't enough. I tried to work more hours in overtime, and it still wasn't enough. Come on, how many of us can be real in here today and say, I tried everything I can, and it wasn't enough? And no matter how much I did, it felt like I didn't have enough. And if you're here today and you feel like what you have is not enough, and if you're here today and you feel like what you're walking through has brought you to this reality where you have said maybe these, said even these words, I'm not enough. I want to point you to something here in this text that Jesus says to the disciples that I believe will begin to give us some hope and some encouragement in spite of us having moments where we feel like we don't have enough. That when the resources are running low, even here in this text, I want you to notice something that Jesus says, not just here in this text, but in Matthew's rendition of this text. Because in Matthew chapter 14, verses 17 through 18, Matthew gives us some more detail about the conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. And when the disciples come to him in Matthew chapter 14, verse 17, here's what they say. They say, we only got two fish and five little loaves of bread. Because the reality was they found a little boy who came there with a little lunch. Two fish, five loaves of bread. And when they come to Jesus with this sentiment, here's what the Bible says, and I think we got it on the screen. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 18, here's what Jesus says. Bring them to me. Okay, y'all ain't get it neither. 8:15 didn't get it. That's all good. Two fish, five loaves. What are they for so many, Jesus? Here's what Jesus says. Bring them here to me. It's not enough, Jesus. Bring them to me. It's 5,000 plus people, grown men alone. You know good and well two fish and five little pieces of bread ain't enough. Bring them here to me. And the reason why this should be encouraging for all of us today is because it lets us know that Jesus is inviting us to bring our not enough to him, which means this, that whatever in your life is broken, whatever in your life is not working, whatever in your life you feel like is not functioning, whatever is in your life that you feel like is not enough, Jesus says, bring it to me. If your life is falling apart, he says, come to me. If you're tired, he says, come to me. If you're worried, he says, come to me. If you're anxious, he says, come to me. If you're overwhelmed, he says, come to me. If you're lost, he says, come to me. Why? Because when we come to Jesus and when we bring our not enough to Jesus, things begin to change. Things begin to get better. Things begin to be altered. Some of you are here today watching online and in this place, and you know exactly what it's like to be in a place where there was not enough, but then Jesus stepped in. You feel like you didn't have enough support, but then Jesus stepped in. You feel like you didn't have enough money, but then Jesus stepped in. You felt like you didn't have enough clarity and direction, but then Jesus stepped in. You felt like you wouldn't make it through the hard moment in your life, but then Jesus stepped in. You felt like you would not make it through another week, but then Jesus stepped in. You didn't know how you were going to make it through another month, but then Jesus stepped in. And I feel like there's a few people here today that can testify to the fact that when everything was going wrong in my life, Jesus stepped in. And I just want to know, are there about 20 people here today that can give God praise for the fact that Jesus stepped in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your problem? He stepped in. Tell the person beside you, he stepped in. Man, he stepped in. He stepped in. He stepped in when some of you were contemplating ending your life. He stepped in when all the resources dried up. He stepped in when you lost everything. He stepped in the middle of relationships falling apart. He stepped in the middle of the diagnosis that you got that you didn't expect. Jesus stepped in. And here throughout John 6, we see this sign from Jesus that we're about to talk about. But then we also see a statement from Jesus or a saying from Jesus that both reveal a fundamental truth that I need us all to get, that if you don't get anything else from this message, you need to get this. And that is this: he is enough. I wish I had something more deep for you today. He is enough. And here's what Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, All things have been created through him and for him. Meaning this, he's the source of all things. Verse 17, watch this, I like this. He is, everybody say he is. Before all things and by him, all things hold together. Which means this, your money is not your source. Your job is not your source. Your skill is not your source. Your marriage is not your source. Your children is not your source. Your house is not your source. Your abilities are not your source. Your retirement is not your source. Your 401k is not your source. Your Instagram is not your source. Your TikTok is not your source. None of your social media is your source. You have one source, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the source of your life. Which means this, write this down. Jesus isn't a supplement to our life. He is the source of our life. Jesus is not a little ornament that we hang on our life. No, he is our life. That's why Paul says earlier, later on in Colossians chapter 2 and also in Colossians chapter 3, he says, your life has now been hidden in Christ. He is the source of our life, which means this, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And why is this good news, Pastor? It is a good news because we are constantly met with the reality that we don't have enough, and we're constantly met with the reality that we aren't enough. And I want to let you know, more money is not the answer to your problems. A new relationship isn't the answer to your problems. A new career isn't the answer to your problems. And we have all these things happening in our world right now. We got wars and rumors of wars. I'm here to let you know that the answer to all of our problems is found in the name of Jesus. He is enough. He is our everything. He is our source of life. When I was growing up, old church and some of the older members would say something like this. He is a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the sick room. And some of y'all know him as lawyer. Some of y'all know him as doctor. But some of y'all in here know him as Jireh, the God who provides. Some of y'all know him as healer. Some of y'all know him as the comforter. Some of y'all know him as savior. Some of y'all know him as protector. Some of y'all know him as friend. And I just want to know, who am I talking to today that can say, I got a personal encounter with Jesus. He has been my everything. He has been more than enough. Had it not been for the Lord Jesus on my side, where would I be? I would not be here today had it not been for Jesus. My marriage would not have survived had it not been for Jesus. I would not have made it another year had it not been for Jesus. Thank God for the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus. He is enough. Tell the person beside you, he's enough. He's enough. And I know we live in a culture and a time that says if you have more money, that's enough. But the same culture will say, get more money. Watch this. I know we even live in a time where culture and we hear things like this, well-meaning statements. You're enough. I'm enough. And I get the sentiment with it. I love the feelings of hope with that. But I'm going to give you truth. You're not enough. He is enough. I'm not enough. He is enough. And the reason why that should liberate us is because it means this. The burden of proof of things no longer rests on my shoulder. It rests on his. I have to be enough. Oh, Pastor, I am enough. Well, you hit a moment in your life where you don't have enough of something to help you out in something. Because reality hits and we're faced with the limitations of our own life, our own knowledge. We don't know everything and we don't have all power, but we know the one who is omniscient, who knows all things. We know the one who is omnipotent, the one who has all power. And we know the one who is an ever-present help in a time of trouble, who is always with us, never to leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is enough. And in him, the Bible says, we live, move, and have our being. And what this text reveals to us is two main thoughts that I'm going to give us to help us to see that Jesus is enough. Number one is this. Jesus is enough for everyday life. Jesus is enough for everyday life. Tell the person beside you, you need Jesus every day of the week. Every day, I need Jesus. Jesus is enough for every day's life's issues. Sometimes we'll compartmentalize who Jesus is and say, he's my ticket to heaven. But if you've been living longer than a day, you will have the understanding, I don't just need Jesus to get me to heaven. I need Jesus to get me through earth. Come on. I don't just need Jesus to get me to heaven. I need Jesus to help me through Monday. Because Monday hit hard. And what we see in this text, family, is Jesus meeting the everyday life practical needs of the people here in this text. I want you to go back to around verse 6 or verse 7. Here's what Philip says. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? Now, it's interesting that the writers help us to see is 2 pieces of fish and 5 barley loaves. Barley loaves were considered to be some of the most inexpensive, the cheapest forms of bread back in that time. Many people refer to them as this is the poor person's bread because there was all these different qualities of bread. And typically, poor people could not afford that back then. So the cheapest and most accessible type of bread that they can get was barley bread. It was common. So here's what they're saying. This is a poor person's meal. What are we going to do with this? What are they for so many? But what did Jesus say? Bring them to me. And the Bible says he takes them. Here's what verse 10 says. Had the people sit down, and there was plenty of grass in the place so that they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Verse 11. Then he took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he gives thanks to God the Father, he distributed it to them, those who were seated. So also with the fish, what does the Bible say? As much as they want. This was an all-you-can-eat buffet. Come on, somebody. This is Golden Corral before Golden Corral. All you can eat. Come on. Soup, salad, breadsticks was here before there was a such thing as soup, salad, and breadsticks for Olive Garden. And y'all know y'all like that good old bread from Olive Garden. They keep bringing it out over and over. You just fill up on that bread. Come on, somebody. I'm getting excited thinking about that right now. We might have to go to Olive Garden after we leave here to remind us of the bread of heaven that came down. Do this in remembrance of me. But the Bible says, as much as they want it, which means this, they want a cap on how much they can eat. Jesus not only made sure they had enough, he made sure that they had more than enough. And the Bible says, when they were full, y'all, they were full. And I imagine there was different type of people there. So some people had a small appetite. Some people got a big appetite. Some people was like, yo, one plate, I need more than that, fam. One of our members came up to me right after the first service. And he was like, yo, pastor, this was a cookout, wasn't it? I said, exactly. It's exactly what this was, bro. It was a cookout. And Jesus know how to grill some things, boy, I tell you. He always cooking and preparing meals. Always. To show us that he has everything that we need. That he will provide everything that we need. He multiplies 2 fish, 5 barley loaves of bread to feed 5,000 people at the very least, but more than likely it was more people. That means all these people ate, and they ate as much as they wanted. And the lesson I want us to see is that Jesus is enough and that he has enough to meet our everyday life's needs. Whatever your need is, he has enough. Whatever you stand in need of right now, he is enough. And what's also fascinating, I want you to notice what the Bible says around verse 12. Here's what it says. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. How many of y'all know leftovers sometimes be better than the originals? When you let that joint sit in the refrigerator, let it marinate a little bit more. But watch what they do with the leftovers. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so nothing is wasted. Watch verse 13. So they collected them and filled how many baskets? 12. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. So I wonder if this was a lesson that he's trying to teach them about trusting God to provide. That not only was there enough for everybody there to eat, there's also more than enough for you to eat. It's 12 of y'all, and we got 12 baskets. And many theologians would argue one basket per disciple. Which helps us to also understand something. Whatever your specific need is, God is able to meet it. Jesus is able to meet it. And this is why maybe he teaches us to pray this prayer in Matthew 6 and 11, where he says this, give us today our daily bread. Can I let you know that God loves you so much that he wants to make sure that you have every need in your life met? I'm not talking about your wants. I'm talking about your needs. I need a TV. No, you want a TV. You want an 86-inch plasma screen TV, 4K, where you can see people's boogers on the screen. Had to wake some of y'all up right there. You want that, but you don't need it. But if you need a breakthrough in your life, he'll make sure that you got it. If you need him to show up in your life, he'll make sure that you got it. If you need an answer in your life, it may not come in the way that you want, and it may not come when you want, and it may not come how you want, but he will make sure that you have every single need met in your life as you continue to trust him and lean on him. Pastor, how can you say that so confidently? Because the Bible says, I got Bible. Oh, I got Bible. Here's what he says in Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply, what's that say? Some? All your needs according to whose riches? Not yours, because yours runs out. Not mine, because mine is finite. But according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, my God will supply all your needs, which means this, no matter what your need is, God has more than enough to meet that need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank God that we got a God who has an economy in heaven where there's never a recession, where bread don't never run out, where resources don't never run out, but God knows exactly how to get you what you need, when you need it, and to take care of every need that you may have in your life. I like what the late Charles Spurgeon says. He says this, I have a great need for Christ, but I have a great Christ for my need. I have a great need for Christ. There's some great needs that I got in my life, but I have a great Christ for my need. Can I let you know that your Savior is bigger than your situation? Can I let you know that your provider is bigger than your problem? Can I let you know that the lover of your soul is better and greater than any obstacle that you might be facing right now? Jesus is enough for our everyday needs, which means this, if you are afraid, he says that I have not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. When bills are piling up, he is our provision, and he will satisfy and meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. When we need comfort, he has promised to be our comforter. When we need direction, he has promised to lead us and direct us. If we're going through a heartbreaking moment, he has promised that he will be close to the brokenhearted. If you feel alone in this place, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus has enough, and Jesus is enough. He's enough. And if we're honest, when we survey the landscape of our community and our country, when I look at everything that's happening in our world, locally, nationally, internationally, it brings me to the same and simple, profound truth. We need Jesus. Our communities need Jesus. We need him locally. We need him nationally. We need him internationally. We need him personally, and we need him corporately. We need him in our government. We need him in our schools, and we need him in our campuses. We need him in our marriages. We need him in our careers, and we need him in our churches. We don't just need Jesus on Sunday for an hour and 15 to 20 minutes. No, we need him on Monday morning as well. We need him not just on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. No, we need him on Wednesday mornings when we feel like giving up in the middle of the week. I don't just need Jesus to get to heaven. No, I need Jesus to get through every day during the course of the week. And I want to encourage us to let you know this. If you're walking through something that's difficult and something that's hard right now, if you're walking through something where you feel like you're struggling right now and you're in need in some way in your life, I want to let you know that Jesus is enough. I want to encourage you to trust and believe that he will meet the everyday needs that are present in your life. And maybe for some of us, you got the thing that Philip is saying right now in your spirit, even as you're hearing me talk about how Jesus is enough. And some of you are maybe saying, but Pastor, what I have is not enough. But Pastor, what I possess is not enough. What's in my hands is not enough. And I want to give you something that I hope will set you free. Write this down. What is not enough in your hands is more than enough in his. What is not enough in your hands is more than enough in His. So if your marriage is not enough in your hands, put it in His hands and watch what He begins to do. If your resources aren't enough in His hands, put it in His hands and watch what He begins to do. Put whatever it is that is in need in your life, put it in the hands of Jesus. Because in your hands it will dry up, but in His hands it will multiply. In your hands it might fall apart. It might not be enough, and it's not enough. But in His hands, it becomes more than enough. These are the same two fish and five loaves that Philip had in their hands that have now been transferred to the hands of Jesus. And maybe the word for some of us that God wants us to get today is that you are holding on to too much stuff too tightly in your hands. And the reason why you have not experienced breakthrough is because you won't release it to me. You're praying for breakthrough while playing God at the same time. But He says, the minute you begin to release things to me in prayer, in faith, in hope, that's when things begin to change. And it may not change the way you want it to change. But whenever you put something in the hands of God, it always changes. It's just like if you're playing spades in here. And you got nothing but hearts in your hands. Twos and threes and fours. In your hands is one thing. But in an experienced person's hands, who know how to play spades. Because some of y'all be saying, y'all know how to play spades. You be reneging all the time. You don't know how to play spades. Be cutting everything. Cards in one person's hands become completely different and something different when it becomes cards in somebody else's hands. When you place cards in the hands of somebody who really don't have enough and don't know what they're doing, versus when you place the cards in the hands of somebody who's experienced and who has intellect and who has wisdom and who has experience, we can take a bad hand and turn it into a winning hand. I'm here to let you know that when you begin to put everyday life needs in the hands of Jesus, what may appear to be a losing hand becomes a winning hand in His hands. So what's not enough in your hands is more than enough in His. But Jesus has not only come to meet our everyday, He's not enough just for our everyday life. I want you to also write this down. He's enough for eternal life. Everybody say eternal life. I want you to understand that when Jesus feeds the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread, everybody say bread, it was bigger than just filling stomachs. Whenever Jesus does a sign, He always has something greater in mind. And He begins to unpack this a little bit more later on in John chapter 6, around verses 26 through 29. And for the remainder of John chapter 6, we won't read all of it, but I want to jump into a few verses. Notice what He says around verse 26 of John 6. Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life." Everybody say eternal life. "Which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal of approval on Him." Here's what they say in verse 28. "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one He has sent." Then when you jump down to about verse 32, here's what I want you to notice. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." And He says this even more, verse 33, "For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Here's what they say. Then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." That's that Panera bread. Olive Garden bread, Red Lobster bread. The biscuits don't taste the same. They're a little different in today's time. Change the recipe. You ain't fool me. Y'all get me distracted. I'm back. All right. Verse 35. Here's what He says. "I am the bread of life." Jesus told them, "No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again." I want you to notice here what Jesus is saying. This is bigger than just having your stomach filled with natural bread. I want to meet your everyday life's needs, but you have a greater need in your life than just physical hunger. There is a soul and spiritual need that you have in your life. What is that? Meaning this, that there is a void that only God can fill. There are things in our life called sin that need to be dealt with. We have a sin issue, and our sins need to be forgiven so that we can be in proper relationship with God. And so when Jesus says eternal life, here's what it means: salvation from sin and being in a secure relationship with God. And here's the good news. Unlike Red Lobster, where you got to pay for that bread, this bread is free. You don't got to work for it, which is why they say, what works do we have to perform? And Jesus says, all you got to do is believe. Receive it by faith. I want you to write this down. Jesus did not come to just fill our stomachs. He came to save our souls. So when he says, I am the bread of life, no one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. When he says, I am the bread of life, why is that significant? Because back in the Old Testament, and he references this, when the people of God were set free from Egyptian captivity, they began to complain and grumble and murmur against Moses. They began to talk about, we hungry, why you set us free, Moses? We hungry. They was asking God to deliver them for 400 years. Now God finally did. Why you send us free? We had better food back in Egypt. That's how some, you know, come on, let's be honest. That's how we complain. Why you got to do that, Moses? We had it better when we were slaves. It's so crazy when you've been so used to bondage, that bondage feels normal. So Moses goes to God, tells God about what's happening. In a nutshell, here's what God says. He's going to provide for them. And the Bible says he begins to cause, he rains bread down from heaven. Now, this is a crazy phenomenon. Can you imagine going outside and seeing bread come down from heaven? Many of us were shocked the other day when it was 85 on Wednesday and snowing the next day. And some of y'all stood at the joint like me, like, how is this happening? Come on, you ever had something happen in your life? Yo, how in the world? God made snow, caused it to fall. God created bread, caused it to fall. And when Jesus was talking about this in the Old Testament, they would have recognized this here in the New. That our ancestors ate this bread that God provided for them. But now here in Scripture, Jesus is ultimately talking about, he says, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. You know what's so crazy about this, family? When Jesus talks about how he came down from heaven, and how he's the bread of life. You know, you remember where he was born? He wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in a place called Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. So the bread of life came to a city that represented what he came to do for the world. To bring bread or salvation to the world. So when he says, I am the bread of life, he's speaking metaphorically of how he has come down to bring sustenance to our lives. That just as bread has the capacity to begin to fill us on the inside, Jesus says, I have come down as the bread of life to fill your soul with something that this world cannot give you. To pay for your sin, to do something for you that you could not do for yourself. To give you eternal life, something that you could not work for, something that you could only ask for. And I'm here to let you know that the world's bread eventually expires. You go buy a loaf of bread right now from Walmart, there's an expiration date on that. That if you eat that past a certain date, you will get sick. I'm here to let you know that the bread of Jesus, the bread of heaven, does not have an expiration date. It never goes bad. It never begins to mold. It never begins to fall apart. You can always come and ask for the bread of life. So Jesus says he came down to bring bread, to bring life for the whole world. He came down to bring bread, this eternal life, to lost people, to people who are hurting, to people who are broken. He came down to bring eternal life to people of all colors, to people of all backgrounds, to men, to women, to children. Meaning this, that no matter your sin, no matter your mistakes, no matter your decisions, I'm here to let you know there's plenty of bread to go around for you. You got plenty of it. And I want you to look at what he says in verses 47 through 51. Here's what he says. Truly, I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna, meaning bread, in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone, everybody say anyone, may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for life of the world is my flesh. So here's what he's saying. How do I receive this bread? How do I receive eternal life? By simply believing in what he came to do for me. Which is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, so no person can boast. He says, all you got to do is believe and receive it by faith. Believe what, Pastor? Believe that he came from heaven to earth to die for my sins and that he raised back to life on the third day. When I believe that, I have eternal life. And eternal life does not happen when I die. Eternal life happens when I believe, which means if I have said yes to Jesus, I already have eternal life. And the good news of Jesus is this: once I have it, I can't lose it. Pastor, what do you mean? Because there was nothing I did that I could earn it, which means there's nothing I can do to lose it. That's why it's called eternal life, not temporary life. He gave it. Pastor, how can you say that? Because John 3:16 says this, that God so loved the world that he what? Gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not what? Perish, but have what? Eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only son. Here's what Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 11. We'll talk more about this next week. Verse 12, he says this in Acts 4, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Next week, I'm going to preach about how Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and how nobody comes to the Father except through me. I'm here to let us know there's a whole bunch of different religions in this world, but there's only one that gets you to the Father. There's only one that gets you to heaven, and there's only one name that can wash away your sins. There's only one way that can reconcile us back to God, and his name is the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the bread of heaven that came down to give us life and life more abundantly. He came to give bread. So he shows us this, that not only does he provide bread, your daily bread, he shows us that he is the bread. So he meets your everyday need. But he also meets your eternal need. When I think about bread, we've been talking about bread a whole lot, so I naturally get hungry. I'm pretty sure when I talk about bread, some of us get hungry. Get some images in your mind. Cheddar Bay biscuits. Garlic bread. Garlic knots. Loaf of bread. Like Panera, right? I went and got this for y'all. I wish I had the ability to be able to multiply this and get this to all the It's not my gifting, not my anointing, but I know one. Man, when you think about this, don't drop the bread now. Don't drop the bread. But think about this and how Jesus took the bread. Man. Look at this. You warm this up right here. Dip this in some soup. Man. Now, I got this a few hours before service, so it's gotten a little cold. But when I first got it, it was hot. It was warm. It was soft. It had a smell. Right? Ain't nothing like fresh-smelling bread. Man, it does something to you. But what's interesting is I can admire this bread, I can smell the bread, I can touch the bread. This bread might smell good, it may look good, it may taste good, but it does no good with me just holding it. Because bread was not meant to just look at, it was meant to consume. What does this have to do with what we're talking about? Because I can know about Jesus, I could be around Jesus, I can come to church and hear about Jesus. But until I receive Jesus, until I do, as he says in the scripture, eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, meaning this, I believe him, I receive him into my life, I trust him by faith, then I don't experience the benefits of that bread. But when I believe, for illustration purposes only, joint hitting, y'all. It's a little bit, a little tough right there. It's extending the illustration a little bit more than I want it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Buy me some, bro. Buy me some, bro. Maybe this is what Jesus says when he'll fill us and we'll never be hungry again. Still chewing. Still eating. Because when we have him, he continues to provide. It never runs out. And I'm here to let you know that when you begin to trust in Jesus, his bread never runs out. He meets your every need. He takes care of you for everyday life and for all of eternity. And the reason why this is important is because some of us have been trying to fill up on things of this world. And you've been trying to be satisfied by the things of this world. And it's left you more hungry. It's left you more thirsty. It's left you dry. It's left you discouraged. It's left you filled with doubt. But I'm here to let you know that if you would tap in with the bread of life, I'm here to let you know if you tap in with the one who came down from heaven to meet every need that you have, you will begin to experience fulfillment. You will begin to experience joy. Come on, you will begin to experience satisfaction. Where are my people out of here today that can say, God, I want the living bread from Jesus. Give me the bread that never runs out. Give me the bread that fills my soul. Give me the bread that's more than enough. Which means this, I want everybody to stand to our feet. If Jesus is enough, it means this, we don't have to be enough. Because Jesus is our enough. I know culture pumps this message into us, more. You're enough. Y'all have been in so many situations in my life where I said, I don't have enough. And I'm not enough. But it's in those moments where I recognized and saw Jesus in a new way. You know what? I don't have to have enough in myself. And I don't have to be enough. Because I have access to the one who is enough. Which is why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Which means this, Jesus is enough for everyday life, and he is enough for eternal life. And what I want to invite all of us into is this place where we say, Jesus, would you be my enough? I've tried my own thing. I've gone my own way. Jesus, I want you to be my enough. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this moment, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've been trying to fill up on the bread of this world, temporary things, only to discover it won't enough. But today you have the opportunity to come to the one who is enough. His name is Jesus. And the reason why you can come to him is because he first came down to you. And I believe I'm talking to some of you who are here today. Today is the day where you need to say, I'm coming to Jesus. By trusting in him, by believing in him. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, today I want to come to Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to have a relationship with him. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. I believe I'm talking to some of you who are in here today. You've been running from God. You don't have a relationship with God. And you've been trying to fill your life on your own. You cannot fill your life on your own. You need the one who is the bread of life to do that. So on the count of three, would you shoot up your hand if you're ready to give your life to Christ today? One, today is a day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, shoot up your hand. You need to give your life to Jesus today. Come on, wherever you are. Amen. I see your hands. Come on, wherever you are. Come on, slip up your hand. Wherever you are. Amen. Come on. Just want to see you. Not going to embarrass you. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. You need to give your life to Jesus today. Amen. For every hand lifted in this place and watching online, I want you to say these words. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Jesus, would you be my Lord? Jesus, would you be my Savior? Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, I saw a lot of hands go up. Can we celebrate those who said yes to Jesus today? Amen. Amen.